You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki for KFSK News. This is Campus Connection, and I'm joined in the studio today by School Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations on the end of the school year. I know,
thank
big
you.
Big deal, and things have quieted down a little bit for students gone for the summer break, and staff is mostly gone except the people who run the place and clean up after all that.
That's right. That's what we're doing. And we do also have some summer school activities going on already as well. So we plunged right into that with some of our secondary students. And we're happy to have some of our teachers doing some work there and some of our aides. So great group of kids already coming in. And it's going well.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is the last board meeting before a little bit of a break for the summer. You don't normally meet in July, I think. And so you have a lot to talk about. Let's dive right in. The budget for next year is the big thing, I think, right?
Yeah.
Voting on a spending plan and your thoughts on this budget. I'm guessing it's not sustainable to spend down the fund balance at this level in future years.
Right. No, it's not. And just needing to, make some of those adjustments. It's always challenging, as we say, every year during budget season for schools. You know, we're always holding on to see what will happen with the legislature, what will happen with the governor signing the budget or not signing the budget, and where that's going to go. And, of course, we always have to, make our best guess to the best of our ability with hiring, because those contracts go out in, February, March, April. And we won't actually know exactly what our, final revenue will be until really October. So it's always kind of a backwards process that is always frustrating without forward funding, being decided upon. So we'll see what the governor does. Hopefully we'll know something here, in a week or two. That's the hope.
So is it possible it will look better in a week or
yes,
two?
Yes, okay. That's the goal. This budget, as we always do, is the most conservative and, to be honest, the worst case scenario. We have not at this point, because we don't have a guarantee of what the base student allocation might look like, or whether they're going to do the the one-time funding outside of the BSA, which both of those are options. So we won't know for sure. So we've not included those in there. We are very, very confident that there will be additional funding that will buffer this budget and make it look much better than it does right now. But we don't want to make any assumptions, and we don't have that in writing, from the governor at this point. So it's been submitted to have an increase. But
you're not counting on it.
We need that signature before we,
okay,
do the final.
Where's the biggest impact on the budget as it's drafted? Is it that loss in state funding from dropping from three schools to two? Is that the...
We do go into a hold harmless there, so there'll be a buffer also with that process. I would say at this point, what we're really being hit with, and it's just been astronomical this spring, like 70%, over 70% increase in with this whole fuel cost and electricity, 33% higher with all of that too. So that's been super challenging. We always budget additional funds in those areas to accommodate for that. But this was substantial this year, as I know many agencies are dealing with. So that really hit us this spring. So we're trying to buffer those costs going forward. And it doesn't look like there's much relief in sight for that. So that's pretty challenging. Just the numbers of students we've had. I would say in the last month of school, it was very challenging. We had a number of families that, they're just moving. I mean, that's just what's happening. They can't afford to live here. They can't find good housing. Even with all the positions and jobs in town, it's can be really challenging. This is an expensive place to live anyway. And then you sort of add in these, the rising costs that we understand. People are trying to keep grocery stores open and hardware stores and all those things. I get it from an economic perspective, but we do have families that just flat out can't afford to stay. So we had a number of those cases in those last few weeks of school that really, and they're not just saying they're going, they're actually going. They've got plans. So that was a number of students that just kept peeling off the list in the last few weeks of school. So we actually have not replaced a couple of positions due to that. We made a decision to actually move one of our interventionists into a fifth grade position in the last few weeks of school, rather than sustaining that position, because we just can't. So it's pretty challenging. This is probably the biggest number of student loss that I've seen even since the since the pandemic started. And most of these, I'd say 95% of these have nothing to do with pandemic at all, I guess. Not directly.
Right.
I mean, you know, if we're talking supply chains and all those kind of things, but
just the reality of living here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned some of the impacts, not filling positions. Are there other changes people will see under the budget as it's drafted? A couple things that I saw were changes in activities and maybe some less travel and that kind of thing. But what else?
I would say what people will see is potentially some of those positions that I mentioned. We are definitely going to be looking at maybe some reorganizing even of tasks, depending on what that looks like. If we're going to be sustaining sort of these numbers moving forward, you know, things may end up looking a little differently, maybe in the secondary schools, just even from an office perspective, that kind of thing. I think duties will probably be spread out over time. We'll be making some adjustments as, of course, we bring in a new principal and a new student services person for Ms. Turner leaving and Mr. Dormer, so that will there may be some shifts around there, just even within physical locations within the building and just looking at numbers of kids. I think, you know, again, we'll know more, I think, about the activity budget. We do not want to start having to increase, you know, fees and that sort of thing. We've tried to keep them reasonable, you know, for families so that kids can participate, but it's possible, you know, there could be some increase there. There could be fewer students traveling, you know, having to look at the ferry schedules, all those kinds of things. It's expensive. Activities cost a pretty penny this year just because of the ferry schedule being so much, you know, different. So I think there will be some shifts there. And Mr. Cabral will talk a little bit about that more tonight as well. But, yeah,
okay.
Challenging.
That's tough news to hear. So, I mean, you mentioned the utility stuff. You're paying for that in this year's budget. Plus, now this is the budget for next year. So, kind of a double hit on that.
Right. Yeah, these last 5 to 6 months have been exceptionally difficult with that, and you know, we're not seeing any relief, really any reductions there moving forward. So, we've had to beef up those areas of the budget. Definitely, you know, continuing to research things as we're working with the contractors on the roof repairs with our insurance settlement after the damage from the winter. Definitely getting some good advice from them about some things to consider, you know, with regard to heat loss and certain areas that we might be able to keep improving, you know, efficiencies there. So that's been helpful. We've gotten some good advice from them, just sort of, you know, on the side, I guess, advice from them. They see a lot of roofs and a lot of crawl spaces, so they've given us some things to consider there as well. And yeah, so that's helpful. But it's, yeah, not as bright as we would like to see with our budget. We're in a good position for leveraging the different COVID relief, you know, funds that we have had over the last couple of years, and as we've been able to also carry forward that larger fund balance these last 2 years because of that change they made to the 10% cap. That's also helped buffer this. We knew that this could come. You know, we knew these kinds of things could happen. So, you know, yeah, not sustainable for years on end, but leveraging the federal funds, the grants we do have to the best of our ability. And we'll see how this shakes out, you know, in the fall. And then what happens in the future with staffing, we'll just have to keep adjusting, you know, as numbers hopefully stabilize and maybe increase. But there'll probably be some impacts in the future to staffing. That's just how that goes, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, let's stay on the topic of the roof. So there are already looks like contractors on top of the roof making changes. They're just doing the stuff that was damaged from last winter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're working through the process of making repairs to the areas that were damaged from the snow and ice, and they're making great progress. You've seen them out your window probably here. They're working long hours and getting through lots of repairs. So it's going well.
That's all covered by insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. That's good news. But then the district's also looking at a full replacement of the roofs on the secondary school buildings at some point?
We are. Yeah. Yep. We are moving forward at this point, putting together a request for proposal to get architect and engineering condition survey, and we'll put that out here probably on Friday. Has to post for at least 3 weeks, and we'll put it in a couple different papers around the state, even in Washington, and see who we get for that. And that's a requirement if we're moving forward with securing funding from the state. You know, we have a participating share as a district, but then anywhere from 65 to 70% reimbursement on those projects, similar to what we did for food service and the siding project and, you know, all of those pieces. So working on that process right now with our new facility director, maintenance director, and also with CERC, the Southeast Regional Resource Consortium. They provide support for us. There's a large, lengthy process for, you know, submitting an application to the state for a CIP project. So,
and that's competitive. So against other mm-hmm. districts, you're looking at whether could be, you might get it, you might not.
That's right.
On,
yep.
The need, right?
Yep, absolutely. So you want to have every T crossed and I dotted when you put those applications together, because they all garner a certain number of points for having, you know, each component of it done really well. And so we want to make sure we're following every single step of that process. And this is the first step, is making sure we've got a good RFP process and that we get some good quotes. We evaluate those, and then we get a company in here to do that condition survey, and it'll probably, you know, it'll cost anywhere from $30,000 to $35,000. That's what it costs. So that's what we have done in the past with our other major projects. And then once you have it, then you can keep moving through the process. And if it gets funded, then you get started finding a contractor and, you know, keep moving forward. So it should go well.
Seems like that school roof has been an issue for a while.
Yeah, those, flat roofs in Southeast. I mean, it's a very beautiful building architecturally, but, makes it really challenging when you have winters like we just did, and yeah.
Okay. Also, tonight, you'll be going over some wording changes for board policies. Those didn't look like anything major, and that's kind of a normal review for policies, I think, right?
Yep, it is. Mm-hmm.
And also, acceptance of the class of 2022 class gift, a sign in the gym that says, "Welcome to the Longhouse, home of the Vikings."
Yeah, they submitted a letter. I think we attached it there. There were four seniors on a committee there to participate in and figure out what they wanted to do with the funds that they had raised. And every class, you know, typically donates some sort of gift back to the community and sometimes to the school. And this is what they wanted to do. And so technically we're not really, you know, changing the name of the gym or naming it, you know, sort of formally, but we wanted to go through a bit of a process there and have them submit, you know, what they were doing and why and where it came from. And it sounds like they've got a good plan, and they're working with, I think, Joseph Quitzland, I think, is who they're trying to work with and get a good design for a sign and get something put up. They want to put it over, I think, by the Viking and Valkyrie in the gym and have that be a welcome sign for
and
them.
If people are wondering, there is a whole district policy about naming buildings after people mm-hmm. or whatever. So there is
yep.
a process for that kind of thing if it's an official change of a name.
Absolutely. And so we did go ahead and convene a committee. We had a board member. We had an assembly member. We had a staff member. A couple of the kids were there. You know, we just went ahead and went through a conversation with them, and they presented what their plan was, and everybody felt, you know, very comfortable with it, obviously. And it'll be a nice remembrance for them, I guess, in the gym for their class.
Okay. Also, you'll hear some testing data from Bridget Whitstock, who mm-hmm. is pretty much retired.
Maybe she is. I know. I keep teasing her. She keeps sending me updates for her presentation today, and I'm like, this is it. This is your last official, you know, piece of business, I guess. So, she'll be on there tonight and giving a review, talking a little bit about the spring testing process. We had a lot of testing this spring. And it showed a bit. I think our kids were pretty weary by the time we did it was really the fourth MAP assessment, honestly, in April, May. And I think our kids were pretty shot, to be honest. We showed growth. Our elementary kids showed the most growth, which is what should happen. They do typically show the most, and that's been really good. Worked hard to get that data. Like I said, kids were tired. We did the new test, the Alaska summative test, and then literally turned around about 8 to 9 days later and did our, you know, fourth MAP test. And it, kids were tired. That's just what it was. But we did show growth, and we'll go through some details of that tonight. So
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, handbooks for middle school, high school activities. I know you review these every year. There are some changes, and what should people know about with those handbooks?
Not a ton of changes. I mean, some basic wording kinds of things in the regular handbooks. I would say we've got a few details in there about some of the things in the activities handbook, which I think you referenced. Just talking a little bit about some of the wording related to travel, some of the wording about chaperones, and then talking a little bit about fees again. Other than that, for the most part, there was some removal of language around, specifically around COVID, which we had put in some appendices the last couple of years. And I don't think we need to have separate appendices in the handbooks at this point. I think as we've done, you know, for the last year or two, any major changes that are coming come through the board at this point and our policy changes that we just announce. So, you know, put out to families if there's anything new or different. And at this point, we don't have any real updated guidance from the state or the CDC regarding any significant changes moving into the fall at this point. So we're just kind of on hold, really, on COVID until August, probably, as far as that goes. We did end the year pretty much masking was optional for students and staff. We did require anybody who tested positive to, you know, be out for the 5 days as recommended. And if when they returned without symptoms, they were asked to mask for the next 5 days after that. And beyond that, you know, we had outdoor activities, so we were doing mostly optional testing at that point. We do still have a supply of those kits, and we do have a lot of people that still stop in and, you know, pick some up, and we'll have some still for a while into the fall. And other than that, I don't know what else to say about COVID. We'll probably know more in August.
August board meeting, there might be more of a discussion about what it will look like for the new year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Not on the agenda, but something I wanted to ask about is school safety with shootings around the nation, especially in Texas. Is there anything at this district's level you're doing for that conversation and tightening up school buildings and security around schools?
Yeah, it's a good question. We have been doing some work around that, of course, and just after yet another senseless tragedy targeted at young children and schools, which is just unfathomable to even consider. But we are doing some more work. We're getting a quote to have a kind of a survey done in the district related to our doors, entry points. At this point, each building has one entry access. We are discussing that, what those look like, how well they are monitored. There's advantages and disadvantages, of course, to locking those doors completely. You still have to monitor those, and you know that's a whole process and a staffing process. So we want to have an assessment done related to that with it over the whole district. So we do have a camera system in place already. That's helpful, but we want to have that assessment done. We're also communicating with the police department related to ALICE training. That's the run, hide, fight training that happens. We've done it before in the district. There are two trainers in town related, one at the police department and one through the hospital. And we'll be working with them in the fall as well. And probably convening the emergency preparedness team, I would assume in August, actually, just to talk through all of these options as the school year is getting up and running. Terrible topic, but very important, as you mentioned. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that we missed talking about from the agenda or other school business you want to let people know about?
I don't think so. I think that is probably
okay.
Yeah, about
it. Reading the announcement about school lunches, those are going on for the next couple months here. So that's a reminder about that.
That's right. Yep. Just started that this week, and that's every morning. There's breakfast, 8:30 to 9:30, I think, and 11:30 to 1 for lunch. So stop by the Studman Elementary School. All kids under 18 are welcome to come have breakfast and lunch.
Okay. Thanks for coming in today, and you can hear the school board meeting tonight at 6:00. It's at the middle and high school library. You can hear it broadcast live here on KFSK. Coming up next, we have street beat music. Ross Nanook III is your host.